You can wander the golden shores for miles. You can climb the highest mountains, touch the skies, or gaze on the far horizon, red outback. Open your eyes to Australia.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the series Open Your Eyes to Australia. My name is Jim Lowe and I'm speaking to you from the Blue Mountains in New South Wales, Australia. The image of the swaggy, that itinerant soul who walks the roads and tracks of the land in search of work, features prominently in Australia's stories, songs and poetry. Indeed, our most popular song, Waltzing Matilda, is all about a swaggy. During the Great Depression last century, many people went, as they say, on the wallaby in search of employment, which they couldn't find in the cities and townships. And like the wallaby, they crisscrossed the country, making no direct route, just going where the work might be. On their backs, they often carried their swag or bluey. This usually comprised a sleeping blanket, the odd pieces of clothing and small personal items, along with a tin can or billy in which to boil their tea. The swaggies we mainly read and sing about are men. However, in this episode, I'd like to introduce you to two women who experienced the life of the swaggy. Very little is known about these two ladies, even their names are a bit of a mystery. But they did exist, and over the years, I've tried to find out what I can about them, even though it may not seem a lot. The first woman went under the name of Charcoal Annie. She roamed the Riverina district of southern New South Wales, and there is still uncertainty as to the exact time she did this or for how long. A lone woman traveller, her home was usually an encampment near a river. Not only did such a campsite provide her with fresh running water, but perhaps even more importantly, it gave her the means to make a living. For Annie used to collect the wood which had often become trapped near the river bends after being washed down by floodwaters. She would then dig a pit and fill it with the collected wood. On lighting it, she would cover the fire with a piece of tin sheeting, thereby reducing the airflow into the pit and allowing the wood to cook. The wood took a few days to become charcoal, and during this time, Charcoal Annie would carefully check the amount of air getting inside the pit. She would also note the colour of the smoke rising from the pit, for as the wood became charcoal, the smoke changed from yellowy grey to transparent blue. When this occurred, she would seal the pit, possibly placing some large rocks on the tin cover, and then it was just a matter of waiting and letting the charcoal cool before bagging it in corn sacks and carrying it to the neighbouring towns to sell to the blacksmiths. Quite an enterprising lady. Have a listen to a song I wrote about Charcoal Annie. The reference to her deep, sad eyes is about the only specific description I have come across. As you can well imagine, writing this song with such scant information proved quite a challenge, but definitely one I enjoyed.
Charcoal Annie's moving down the track. Dear old Annie's got a heavy sack. It's full of charcoal which she burned to sell, and the blacksmith will buy it for it burns so well. Charcoal Annie's living all alone. Charcoal Annie doesn't have a home. The sky's her ceiling and the grass her floor, and when she sells her charcoal, she'll make some more. Charcoal Annie's moving down the track. Dear old Annie's got a heavy sack. She loves the bush and her life so free.
And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. Her deep sad eyes tell of sorrow and pain. Where is her family? Will she see them again? Was there someone who told her lies? Oh, what is the story that haunts those eyes? Charcoal Annie's moving down the track. Dear old Annie's got a heavy sack. She loves the bush and her life's so free. And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. Down on the river more wood she burns. She won't raise camp till the season turns. She loves the bush and her life's so free. And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. Charcoal Annie's moving down the track. Dear old Annie's got a heavy sack. She loves the bush and her life's so free. And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. Charcoal Annie's moving down the track. Dear old Annie's got a heavy sack. She loves the bush and her life's so free. And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. She loves the bush and her life's so free. And if you see old Annie, wish her well for me. And now to the second lady traveller, of whom more is known. Syrian Mary was a hawker who lived in the New South Wales country township of Mudgee. Twice each year, she would routinely walk northwest to Coola, a distance of just over 200 kilometres return. Also travelling southeast to Lithgow and back, a return trip of over 250 kilometres, she repeated this trip each year as well. The total distance covered by her yearly would have been hard to estimate, as she didn't restrict her visits to people living on or near the main road. She made diversions to customers in out-of-the-way places as well. Syrian Mary provided a valuable and welcome service to those living isolated lives away from the larger towns. She carried her goods in three baskets, one in each hand, and balancing the third one on her head. Apparently, she later used a pram. She walked the lonely roads and tracks of the district between the years 1890 and 1910. The bushman, Duke Tritton, remembered meeting her when he was in his early 20s, while travelling and working in the area. This would have been sometime during the later part of the first decade of last century, and he estimated her to be then in her 60s. She obviously made a significant impression on Tritton. Some 50 years later, he described her as the most remarkable woman he had ever met. He also noted that she was as straight as a ramrod and walked like a queen. To his knowledge, she never came to any harm during her travels, despite the fact that the bushranging Governor brothers roamed this area of the state. Again, I was impressed by this woman and, as with Charcoal Annie, wrote a song about her as well. Mudgee to Lithgow, she's always travelling round. Or maybe out Coola way, where the black stump can be found. Mary the Syrian is on the road again. Mary is on the road again. Basket is on her head, two others in each hand. Full of wondrous things for the people on the land. Needles, cottons, pins, clothes and fancy things, and trinkets and baby's clothes, these items Mary brings. Mary the Syrian is on the road again. Mary is on the road again. Mary's back is never bent. She walks just like a queen. Along these dusty country roads, where only few have been. Mary the Syrian is on the road again. Mary is on the road again. And many a lonely face will smile when she arrives. Her basket's holding wondrous things to cheer these outback lives. Needles, cottons, pins, clothes and fancy things, and trinkets and baby's clothes, these items Mary brings. Mary the Syrian is on the road again. Mary is on the road again. Mary the Syrian is on the road again. Mary is on the road again. She's on the road again. Some years after writing this song about Siri and Mary, I read Mary Byers' childhood memories as retold to Vicky Powis in her book Growing Up at Dark Corner. More light was shone on the enigmatic Siri and Mary. Mary Byers was born in 1895 and recalled a lady traveller who used to visit her family's Dark Corner home during her childhood. She refers to her as the Syrian lady and goes on to say, she sold haberdashery items, and these she carried in a big wicker basket on her head. She always wore a long black dress, and we'd see her about every 3 months walking along the road from the Palmer's Oakey direction. She spoke just enough English to get by, with the help of some sign language too. Mum always asked her in, and the Syrian lady would spread out a tablecloth on the floor of the front veranda, and then proceed to set out all the items she had for sale. Cottons, elastic, hairpins and hatpins, needles and pins, ribbons, buttons and lace, all those sort of things. Mum used to save up so she could buy from the Syrian lady, since she was cheaper than the shops. I never knew where she had come from or where she was going to, but she passed by our door on a regular basis. It seems highly plausible to assume that this visitor was Siri and Mary. It also highlights again the great distances travelled by this woman to accommodate her grateful customers in those isolated areas. Well, thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode. I do hope you enjoyed meeting Charcoal Annie and Siri and Mary. In my opinion, two extraordinary women. Even though there is not a great deal known about them, I feel it is important to keep their memories alive. There is also the hope that more information may one day be shed on both their lives. From the Blue Mountains in New South Wales, Australia, until the next episode in the series Open Your Eyes to Australia, bye for now.
For you can wander the golden shores for miles. You can climb the highest mountains, touch the skies, or gaze on the far horizon, red outback. Open your eyes to Australia. Open your eyes to Australia. Open your eyes to Australia.